Morning, y'all. We're continuing in our preaching series, I'm Up for the Challenge, that we've been talking about our 4x4 challenge. God has blessed us to move to 1111 Tally Road. It's time for us to be about the business that God has called us into. That's the business of reaching people, Brother Miguel, for the Lord. And so we're all about it. We're about it, y'all. So we're about reaching people for the kingdom. The 4x4 challenge. And so you'll find that this is not some typical preaching series at this season, this time of the year. This is Easter season, and so we're used to hearing those messages about, you know, how Peter got upset. You know, he pulled out the blade and he cut off dude's ear. And Jesus put it back on. We're used to hearing messages about his arrest, which was crooked and not right. We're used to hearing messages about, you know, how he went before Pilate and everything that leads up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's these kinds of messages that we're accustomed to hearing. And so what we've been doing is not what you would call Easter messages, but it's all about Easter. That the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than a story that we talk about in a church. It's a story that we tell wherever we go. Because it's the gospel story. It's the good news and the hope of every believer in Jesus Christ. It's this hope that we carry to the world around us. If you are a born-again believer and you are in the house today, I want to let you know that you are a carrier of hope. Yeah, yeah. And what this world needs more than anything today is hope. When we look at the political landscape of the day, people need hope. When we look at our society and you have the big I's and the little U's and you have the haves and the have-nots, people need hope. For the person whose child left here before they did, they need hope. For the person who had a spouse to walk out on them without saying a word, they need hope. For people in this world that the world looks down upon because you don't fit the image of what the world says you're supposed to look like, listen, you need hope. And I came to tell you today the greatest hope that you can find is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's a hope that's not simply in this world. It's a hope in a world yet to come. It's a hope in eternity. They will spend the rest of our lives in the presence of God Almighty. So in this 4x4 challenge, we've been talking about the components to this challenge. And again, this evangelism challenge is not the end all to every evangelism strategy or challenge, that there are others that are out there. But I think this one is a good one because here's what I know. It takes people to reach people. You can put banners across the highways, that you can flash signs everywhere you want. At the end of the day, Jesus even taught us it takes people to reach people. And so that means you living faith. It takes you, it takes me, reaching out to people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to tell them about Jesus Christ. And so we started out this challenge, and y'all help me out. If y'all remember where we started out, it's four parts to it. We start out with what was the first part? Somebody tell me. Identify. Y'all been listening. Praise God. Y'all been listening. To identify at least four people that are in your sphere of influence that may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe they haven't rolled up in anybody's church in a minute. And you identify them. And after you identify them, then what do? You intercede for them. You, as we say, intercessory prayer. You pray for them. And intercessory prayer is just this. Listen, that you go to God on behalf of the need of another person, asking God to help that person. I wonder how many people in the house are glad somebody interceded for you. That you know it was your mama that prayed for you. It was your grandmother that prayed for you. It was Big Mama that prayed, that she interceded for you. So you are to intercede for your four, how many times a week? Four times a week. I guess I write down to four times a week. Pray for those people four times a week. By now, most of you should have gotten your little card, your wallet size, your pocketbook, purse, what do you call it? Your purse size card. You've written at least your four people down, and you're interceding for those four people four times a week. So this morning, y'all, this morning, real quickly, we do our third step. And we're going to come from Luke chapter 5,
verses 27 through 32. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible as we look at this third step of our 4x4 evangelism challenge. I am up for the challenge. It says, later as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi. We know him as Matthew. Sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet at his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So this third step we're going to talk about investing. And so a lot of us we know something about investing or investments. Some of you perhaps have a 401k on your job, and so that money is invested, you know, to a retirement fund for you. Maybe some of you are skilled. You know something about the stock market. You know about the NASDAQ and the Standard and Poor's, the S&P 500. You know about the Dow Jones. You know about all of these things. And so then there are those of us that don't know anything about them. And so for some of us, y'all, the best way to double your money is to fold it in half and stick it in your pocket. And some of us, we leave the investing to somebody else, to the financial professionals, and hopefully when we come to the end of our journey and we ready to retire, we got some money somewhere. If not, I'm coming to stay with somebody. So we know something about investments. It's about putting money in, it's about putting some resource into something that costs us something. And it's our hope that it's going to appreciate, that we're going to get more back than we put in. Investments that we invest in, we invest in relationships, don't we? Come on, married folk in the house today, don't look at me. That we invest in our relationship with the hope that I'm putting something into the relationship. You're putting something into the relationship. And the relationship is better because we're both invested. We are vested and we're investing in this relationship. If you're here today and you're investing in a relationship and you're putting everything in the relationship, but you're not getting anything out of the relationship, then maybe you need to look at that relationship. Is that the best relationship for you to be in? And so in this 4x4 challenge, as we talk about relationships, we must commit to intercede for and invest in the people we have identified. Again, remember the 4x4 challenge, that we invite people, that we invite our four, we intercede for them four times per week, and then we invest in them at least four times per year. And so in this context that we're talking about investments, we look at our story today in the book of Luke, the fifth chapter. We look at one of the apostles, one of the disciples, Matthew or Levi, to see what we can glean from this thought about investments. And so today, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at some relationships. Let's take a look at what God has to say to us today about investing. The first thing I want us to take note of is this, that we have to take the initiative to invest in our four. Look at verse 29. Later, Levi held a banquet at his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. So get the story now. So Levi, or Matthew as we know him, is a tax collector. He is what they say, he's a publican. And so they were people that were despised in that day, because they worked for the Roman government. And when it came to Rome, you didn't mess with Rome's money. Messing with Rome's money was like messing with Rome's emotions, that you didn't play with the money. And Rome had a way of levying heavy, heavy taxes on people. So people just didn't really care for tax collectors, Jews or Romans alike. They didn't care for them. It's kind of like most of y'all in love with the Internal Revenue Service. Anybody work for the Internal Revenue Service before I talk about y'all? No. Most of us are not huge fans of the Internal Revenue Service. Now, if you're one of those people that you're fortunate that you get your return back every year, God bless you, good on you. But for folks that got to pay every year, the Internal Revenue Service is simply not our friend. So see Levi's, Matthew, as one of the chief workers for the Internal Revenue Service. Just despised. They really didn't like him. But the Bible says, y'all, that Jesus came along and he calls this disciple. He says, look, come follow me. And so Levi got up, left everything, and he followed Jesus. Can you get the gist of that? That he's sitting down doing publican stuff, tax collector stuff. Along comes Jesus. Immediately, this man gets up. He leaves everything behind, and he follows Jesus. I wonder how many of us can say that in our walk with God. That when he saved us, when he delivered us, when he set our souls free, from that moment on, we got up from where we are. We got out of whatever mess we were in, and we began to follow. We began to follow Jesus. Y'all, it's a process for real, though. It's a process. That let's thank God that we are saved, but it's a process, and we're still in the midst of getting up, getting rid of some stuff, and following Jesus. But that's what Levi did. He got up, left everything, and he followed him. But then look what he does. That he holds this banquet. That he takes the initiative to invest in the lives of other people like him, other tax collectors, other publicans, other people that the Pharisees and the aristocrats of the day saw as sinners. And the Bible says they called them scum. But he takes the time to have a banquet to invite them to. I believe that Levi, Matthew, wanted them to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ just as he had come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to investments, we cannot see the cost of investment merely as an expense. An expense is something that you keep giving out, you keep giving out. It's not an expense, it's an investment. Investment means you're putting something into something with the hope of getting something out. And what we hope to get out as we relate to other people is they will come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah. That it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about them and coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But they can't merely be an expense. They can't be just this cost kind of a thing. I believe that when we see people merely as an expense, we're more quick to write them off. Because sometimes, y'all, it can get tiring that you're trying to pour into the life of another person, that you're trying to share with them the love of Jesus Christ, and sometimes there's some folk, you know, you have to be a little patient with them. You have to have a little long suffering, and if we're not careful, somebody laughing on this side. So look at me, don't look around, don't look around. Some of us have some family members, y'all. We have some children, you know, that were born, that were reared in the church, and now they act like they don't know God anymore. They don't come to church. I thank God for the young people in the house today, because y'all represent it, because y'all representing the Lord. Y'all show up in the house today, but I need y'all's help, because there are a lot of other folk out there. Yeah, praise God for them. That were probably brought up in the church. Y'all know them, and they're not rolling up in the church anymore. And I need y'all to tell them, listen, come on in. Come on back to church. But if you just see people as a write-off, you give up on them really, really, really quickly. So we have to take the initiative to invest in our four. You must be the one to get up and take the initiative to invest in people. Now, listen, when you're going through the Walmart, and you're going through the vegetable section and stuff like that, and you know how you roll past somebody and y'all have a kind of like a head nod or a grin at them? That's your point time right there. Don't miss that opportunity. Hey, how you doing? You have to take the initiative to start up a conversation, to talk to them. So where do you and your family and them and them. I'm from Memphis. Nim means and them, okay? We need an English course in Ebonics. And Nim is and them. Where y'all go to church? Why don't you come to Living Faith Community? You have to initiate that conversation. You have to invest in the person. It may cost you some time, some talent, some money. It may cost you a part of your life to invest in someone else. But if it costs that, that's what it costs. So how many of y'all have children that are over the age of 18 and you're still investing in the life? See, right there, listen, these young folk that are 18 and over and your parents, y'all should have got up and started, hey, they still invested in y'all. They refuse to cut. You're their child. You're their loved one. And we have to love people hard the same way that we're willing to invest in them. How many of y'all got small kids and they have birthday parties like every week? Lord have mercy. Their social calendar, y'all, is bigger than ours. Now, for real, though, I mean, it's like every other week, y'all, they got a birthday party to go to. They got a social event to go to. They got volleyball practice. They got football practice. They got basketball practice. Listen, if we're going to invest in people, this is your mission field. That you ought to show up at the kids' practice at the birthday party that you're representing. And you got your Jesus eyes on, and you're looking for people that you can invest in, that you can spend time with. Hey, come by the house and have a little lunch, have a little dinner. Let's go out to the restaurant and get something to eat. Let's hang out at a movie or something, that you're willing to invest in someone else. This is not an easy kind of evangelism process. That it takes some time, y'all. It takes investing. And by and large, in the world in which we live, we need to do that today, because so many of our relationships are so casual. Hey, how you doing? It's just kind of, yeah, what's up? But this strategy, it takes time, y'all. Investment, it takes money, it takes your talent in your life. So we got some investment opportunities coming up, don't we, y'all? On next Saturday, what is our investment opportunity? It's our Spring Festival, right? That we're asking people in this community to show up at 1111 Tally Road, and we're going to have some food, we're going to have fun, we're going to have activities, we're going to have some music, and it's our opportunity to invest in the community that's around us. Listen, we have movie nights here at Living Faith. We have our life groups that you can invite people to. Again, you can take people to lunch, you can take them to dinner, but it's important that we invest in the lives of other people. So how you invest is determined by the depth of your relationship. The less you invest, the shallower the relationship. Did you get that? The less you invest, the shallower the relationship. So Living Faith, what does that say to us? We've got to be investing in the lives of other people. And y'all, it still goes beyond, too, saying, well, I just invited them to church. I saw them in the grocery store. I saw them in the mall. And I said, "Will you go to church? Here's a card. You know, I'll see you later." No, it takes some willingness, some kind of almost in the faceness, because you're so concerned about that person's eternal destination that you're willing to invest that kind of time in them. So we have to take the initiative to invest in our folks. Levi, Matthew, he invested in the lives of his guests and those other tax collectors. We have to invest in the lives of, not only that, y'all, not only that. Listen, don't be distracted by detractors. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Can y'all imagine that? I know some of us, if we would have been in earshot of the Pharisees and we'd have been sitting at the table and somebody called us scum, we'd have been fighting right then. It'd have been on. But these are the Pharisees, y'all. These are the religious teachers. These are the church folk of the day. And these are the church folk pointing their nose down, their fingers down at the pit. Y'all scum. That we have to be careful of detractors. Here's one thing I've learned about ministry. Whether you're starting a ministry, been in ministry for a long time, here's one thing I learned. Listen, when you're really about discipleship, When you're really about evangelism, detractors will come. And some of those detractors, y'all, come from right inside the house of God, sitting in pews. Hey, look at me, don't look around. But you have to, am I a detractor or am I an attractor? When people show up and they may not look like us, do you look down at them? When people show up and they don't dress like you, that you don't think it's quite appropriate, that maybe that skirt is too short, do you look down at them? When people show up at Living Faith, we have to be attractors and not detractors and not distractors either. That everybody that comes through those doors ought to be welcome to come in here. That you got your life group. What does a detractor look like? Well, you know, I got my life group, and y'all, this is us over here. Now, if you want to be a part of life group over there, you can, but not this one, because we closed over here. No. That's not how life groups work. Life groups were meant to divide. Yeah, we call them life groups, but your group may not stay together for life. That listen, as God uses you and he grows you up, you ought to start another group and another group and another group, not to be a detractor. No, you can't be a part of it. Well, this is how this praise team does it. That can somebody else with other creativity bring something to the table, bring something to the praise team, bring something to the usher's ministry, bring something to the parking lot ministry that perhaps you don't already have? There are detractors, y'all, even in the church. Would y'all be comfortable Living Faith? I'm going to talk to y'all for real. Would you be comfortable if over the next year I ask you to reach out for your 4 or your 6 or your 8 or your 10, that God would bring 500 more people to this sanctuary, to this building? Would you be comfortable with that? Well, what if they didn't look like you? Would you still be comfortable with it? What if their political affiliation was different than yours? Would you still be comfortable? Because we're not up in here about a political affiliation. We're here about Jesus Christ and him being lifted up. That's what we're about as a church. So I'm encouraging you, listen, don't be concerned about detractors. Well, why are you hanging out with them? I thought you was my boy. I thought I was the one. And now you're over there talking. What y'all talking? Y'all talking about me? That don't be distracted by detractors. It was Christian author C.S. Lewis that said this: if you want a religion to make you feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity, y'all. That Christianity doesn't make you comfortable. That it ought to make you feel uncomfortable, but uncomfortable enough to bring you closer into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, forget about the detractors, y'all. I'm almost done. This third one, y'all, and we'll be done. Invest in your 4 intentionally. See that in the text. Invest in your 4 intentionally. What about those detractors, too, y'all? We can't be so churchy that people on the outside think we're weird and they don't recognize us. You know, praise Jesus. We got the church language down. We got the church verbiage down. But that's not like, you know, people don't go to, they don't go to Burger King and say, let me have a Whopper and some Coke with that. Now, that's not how people talk. I had to throw it because sometimes we can be so churchy, y'all, so churchy and so, you know, that we don't want folk to touch us because we're holy now and be real churchy about stuff. But invest in your 4 intentionally. Verses 31 through 32. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Yeah. That's when you invest in someone or something, you don't do it by accident. When you bought that nice, beautiful home, that was an investment. You expect to appreciate. And you don't buy it on accident. Now, if you bought a car, accounted, is the car an investment? It depreciates in value, doesn't it? Yeah, see, I'm learning some things. So it's an asset that depreciates. But when we invest in stuff, y'all, we're very intentional about it. That we'll put our time into it, that we'll put hard work into what we invest in. Invest in your four intentionally. Do it on purpose. And the purpose is to bring someone into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answers his critics, y'all, these detractors. He says, sick people need a doctor, just like lost people need Jesus. That's what he's really saying. Doctors go into the medical profession. Nurses go into the medical profession to help people. What would it look like if everybody's always healthy when they come into the office? I know that sounds real good, but y'all go through all of that schooling, all of this training to help people that are sick. That's in the natural. What Jesus is talking about is the sick folk, the tax collectors, the sinners, the people that don't know him and the pardon of their sins, that they need him. And that, somebody said it a long time ago that the church is a hospital. And I still believe that's true today. It's a hospital for sick people to get well. And people can get well when we preach the truth of God's word, when we teach the truth of God's word, when we live the truth of God's word, when we love people the way they ought to be loved, when we don't look down our noses at people. But we have to invest in our four intentionally. Church, today, we can't afford to be spiritual germaphobes. We're afraid to come in contact with certain people because you know about how those people are. That we dare not come in contact with them. It is something that they have is going to rub off on us. So it was the 1 Corinthians where Paul is talking about, he's talking about, you know, adulterers and fornicators and liars and cheats. He said that these people want to inherit eternal life. But he says something that's important there. He says, and such were some of you. That everybody in here, you are an ex something. Oh, you got quiet on me right there. No, I've been saved my entire life. Right. If you're breathing and you're in this house today, listen, all of us are an ex something. We've done something in our lives that was worthy of death, eternal separation from God. But thanks be to God for Jesus. Amen. And I believe, y'all, we have the answer, that there is an antidote for the tax collectors, for the sinners, for people that need Jesus, that we carry the word of God with us, the powerful word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's more than an Easter story, which is a powerful story, but it's a gospel that has to be preached to a dying world about a living Savior. And so it's a word that's intended to heal people. It's a healing message. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to spend quality time with people. We have to invest in them intentionally, not by accident, but on purpose, for the purpose of them receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I kind of want to end this message today with this thought. That God invests in what he initiates. That God himself invests in what he initiates. That God loved you and me so much that he initiated his plan of salvation, which only comes through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that he initiated this plan. And for anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, you shall be saved, that he initiated this plan. But guess what? If you are a born-again believer, God invested in you, that you are his investment. But you're not an investment to simply sit on the pew. You're not an investment just to go in and out of the workplace and around town and different and not tell people about the Lord, that God invests in what he initiates. And so how do I really know? Because Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That God invested in you. God invested in me. And we're called to be his witnesses. But guess what? He invested and divested his power in you and me. You don't have to do it alone, all by yourself. You know, there's a story of this lady who lived in the boondocks. She lived in the middle of nowhere. And she didn't have any electricity or power to her house, but she wanted electricity. So she gets in contact somehow with the electric company to let them know that she wants electricity in her home. And so speedily, they bring somebody out to the house, you know, they dig and they connect, make the connections, and she has electricity in her home. And so some 6 months pass down the road, and the electric company noticed she only used about 1 or 2 units of electricity. So they're wondering, what in the world is wrong? So she hadn't really used her electricity. She hadn't used her power. So they send a serviceman out. He knocks on the door. She answers the door politely, and the serviceman says, hey, listen, we gave you electricity. What's wrong? Is something wrong? It doesn't seem like you're using a lot. She said, yeah, it's working fine. Works just fine. And he said, it is, really? She said, yeah, so what I do is, you know, before it gets dark, I turn on the electricity just to get enough light, just to get enough power to light my kerosene lamp. Then I turn it back off. It sounds real funny, doesn't it? But think about all the power that this woman had. But she did not use that power to her advantage. But let me flip the script on you. Listen, but you have received power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can I ask you, church, what are you doing with your power? Is your power all about you, or is your power about reaching people for the kingdom of God? I came to let you know this morning, by the power invested in you, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you have the power to be witnesses for God today. You have the power to stand up and tell the truth. You have the power to be light. You have the power to be salt. You have the power to speak out. You have the power to represent Jesus. Where you have power, but how are you using your power today? It depends upon, it matters how you use your power. So are you up for the challenge? Are you willing to invest your life in the lives of other people that don't know Jesus and the pardon of their sins? And like I said, this challenge is not necessarily an easy challenge, but y'all, it's worth it. Yeah. So how much is it worth it? It's eternally worth it, because it changes a person's destiny. As Minister Jan said this morning, from one place or the other, when you die, you go in one place or the other. Yeah. You either you'll reign with God and be with him, or the Bible says you'll be turned into hell. So, Living Faith, I'm asking you, be up for the challenge. Invest in the lives of those who are, invest in your children that may not come to church anymore. Invest in a co-worker. Invest in people that you meet on the street. Invest your time and invest your gifting and your talent for the sole purpose, for the main purpose of winning that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. As we rise to the occasion and to the challenge of reaching people for your kingdom, that you did not bless us to be here at 1111 Tally Road for no reason. And beyond the great worship services, beyond the programs, that you have a mandate for the church. And the church is made up of people and not walls, just walls. And you've called your people to be a light for you. And so, God, we're willing to rise to the challenge, this 4x4 challenge, that we will invite at least 4, that we'll pray for them at least 4 times a week, and we'll invest in them at least 4 times a week. And as you said in your word, Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so here we are, O God, that we are your laborers. The harvest is there, and we're willing to rise to the challenge. And we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of representing you well in this community, in this season, and in this time. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise in the house one more time?
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.